Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Every team, every topic, everywhere, this is Believe.
What's up, folks? It's another edition. It's the end of the year edition of Hitting the High Notes Jazz Talk. End of the year for the Jazz, but not end of the year for us. I am here. You can follow me on the Twitterverse at HooTransuperman. That's HUUTRN Superman. RIP to Jazz High Notes at Jazz High Notes. I just don't want to put the work in to get that handle back. So, you know, it is what it is. And right now we are two-thirds of our tripod. We're missing our other leg. He'll probably be here in a little bit. But let's go to our second leg. He's the Squatches of Dragons. He is Rudy Gobert's biggest fan, or Kyle Anderson's biggest fan, one or the other. Dragon Squatch. What's up, Logan?
Just always tugging.
Always tugging. Yeah, that's a
always tugging.
could be where he is. So, Logan, we haven't had you on. I mean, we like record so infrequently now. It feels like I haven't talked to you in over a month, but it's been a minute. Last time we talked, you weren't a Believe host. Now you're officially a host of the Believe Network. So, we got the Jazz. They finished. I don't know. How do you feel about where the Jazz finished? I mean, everybody knows how I feel about it. Everybody knows how Jared feels about it. How do you feel about where the Jazz finished just outside of the play-in?
I don't know. I lost complete interest in giving a shit part of the way through. I really think that stretch there, that stretch where they went really bad against San Antonio and Oklahoma City, just sunk me for a minute. I had small hopes, I think, even the last time we potted it. Just going for the play-in. Why the fuck not go for the play-in? But it just, I don't know. I mean, I think it's like we've all said before, they already made their bed, so it was what it was.
This like lottery stuff, it doesn't excite you. And I kind of like that because obviously from game one, I was fucking done with this team, right? And, they pretty much ended up where I thought I actually thought they were going to go and get in the playoffs and make their pick even worse. At least now they actually have a chance, as small it may be, to at least get a top four. We have to start recording late because I'm at work. I do an Instagram Live with Sam. We're going to do lottery picks every day. And for the 50 people who didn't watch, or we only have 50 people watching, but we did the tankathon thing, and the Jazz actually moved up to a top four pick. So it could be exciting. It could happen. Like, it's 20%. Maybe I should say in other terms, like, there's 80% chance the Jazz do not move up in the draft. So that's a little more depressing. It's true. But this stuff doesn't excite you, does it, Logan?
No, not really. It just seems to me like the pessimism I see on those stuff I read is we're just always that spot away from where we need to, like, if the top eight, we're the nine slots, and the top eight prospects are the game changers, right? So if we were in the seventh spot, it'd be the top six. So I think I've come around to my own, I don't know if it's my own common sense, but it's my own common sense. I mean, it's reality. I've just come to the understand. I understand the Victor hype. I understand the want for Victor. I do believe, as you've stated, and we've all stated, everyone stated, he has that LeBron James, Tim Duncan type prospect. Like, we're talking about generational, possible game changing talent, right? Mm-hmm. So I get the fascination with that. I'm unable to convince myself that the other 2 through 15 prospects or 10 are absolute game changers. That to me feels more like the hyperbole of many other drafts. I just don't understand how that can be true. So I guess I don't know. It's just an interesting place because I've never gotten into the draft really. It's never been something I understand. And now with, I guess, increased Twitter consumption and seeing that that's what everyone gets into, it's kind of, you kind of see it every single day. I mean, Scoot's kind of been the second best prospect all along, right? I've seen some flux on that, but to me, he's – not a huge guy, and I think that he's relative. I mean, he's young, and there's some. I don't know. There's. I get why Victor feels like the slam dunk can't miss. I completely get that. But the rest of them, they all look the same to me on tape. Like they all look like they could be. There could be studs. There could be not. I guess what I'm saying is I'm not convinced like the rest of the world that this draft has, you know, 9 to 10 Hall of Famers in it.
Right. So. Yeah. Like, I mean, that's like, you know, for me, it's, the same. Like, at the beginning of the year or, you know, in the offseason, I said, you know, I know that the chance to get the number one seed is really hard. Even if the Jazz had, you know, got the worst record in the league, it's only a 14% chance, right? But I had always said, you know, hey, even if the Jazz were the worst team in the league, the worst pick they would get would be top five, which I thought, you know, like, hey, you know, in this quote-unquote strong draft, right? Everybody keeps talking about how strong this draft is. I thought, hey, you get yourself a top five pick. There's likely a game changer in those five picks somewhere. Like, three of those five picks are probably going to be, you know, if you don't get the LeBron type level, you're probably going to get at least the Dwayne Wade, Chris Bosh, Tatum, John Morant, like type players that they look really good. And with the right pieces around those guys, you might be able to say, okay, cool, these guys are it. So that's why, like, I don't want to say I'm not disappointed. I am disappointed. But with where the Jazz ended up this year, Logan, like, whatever, right? Like,
I get it, and I understand. I'm not saying that there isn't going to be some studs. I think there's going to be some studs, but the way it's been phrased is it's almost as though, like, people feel like they're six. I think I was being a little bit obnoxious saying 9 to 10, but I think there's a lot of people, like, I think a lot of folks, like, absolutely believe that there's, like, five or six just certainties there.
And I get what you're saying.
I just don't believe that. That's right. Where I think it's just gone off the rails
Everybody's made this, they've made their line into the combination of that eight, and is it because the Jazz are at nine, and they just kept wanting to get higher and higher? Because, like, yeah, if the Jazz had fallen to eight, then they're like, oh, boy. That eighth guy is pretty good, but that seventh guy is like, it's like we get to these like little minute details. Like, we're like, oh my God, number eight, it's just far and away above number nine. And really, I mean, if you're going to miss out on the LeBron James ceiling, there's probably going to, you know, this draft is probably pretty good. It just, you know, I said last week, it's just going to take a little luck. The Jazz are just going to have to get lucky that the guy that ends up being really good, it turns out to be, you know, nine. And when I say really good, I mean, I said Gordon Hayward last week. There's, you know, there are different types of good. we were in this other group chat that is not the group chat that people are thinking of, but it's a small group chat, like with you, me, Nate, Stabler, and Nate, which is like, well, what are your tiers? And, you know, I was falling asleep and I just didn't have time to, but, you know, my tiers are sort of like, you know, the LeBron James is sort of, you know, in his stratosphere of his own. Then you have this, like, weird tier of, like, Kawhi, Paul George, Damian Lillard, which, for one reason or another, like, they don't get to, like, that next tier that of, like, the, you know, Joel Embiid's. For whatever reason, whether it be injuries or just something about them, like, they're so close. Like, Damian was just always just a little bit behind Steph Curry. And then you have, like, but you also have, like, this tier of, like, Lauri Markkanen, Domantas Sabonis, Julius Randle, like, I mean, and everybody's, you know, like, Arn, right? He tweeted me one day, he's like, you kept saying Domantas Sabonis, and I thought you were, like, insulting Lauri Markkanen. And, you know, after watching Sabonis play, he's like, oh, I kind of think it's a compliment now. And I was like, that's the thing, is that, like, I think those guys are good. But, you know, you can kind of tell they're just not as good as the top guys. So, I guess, what, you know, this is a long way of saying I hope the Jazz draft somebody that's closer to, you know, the Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown tier, and further away from, like, the, you know, Brandon Ingram? I don't know. Like, what's this tier below those guys? So, you know, Brandon Ingram might be in that same tier. I don't really know the next tier, but there's some really good players. Like, here's the thing: to get in the NBA, you have to be really good. Like, when I say Ochai Agbaji is, like, a top eight player on a roster, it's not really a dig. Like, being a top eight, like, some of these guys, like, wish they could be top eight on the roster, you know? Like, when I say George Nyang-type player, like, that's a pretty good player. When I kept calling the second-round picks to try to get the George Nyang's level, they obviously didn't even get close. Like, what George Nyang has done in his career is really impressive. And sometimes I think we, like, focus on the negatives, and we sometimes think, oh, you know, George Nyang sucks, right? Like, you know, he doesn't suck. He's a top, you know, whatever, 100, 200 player in the league. So wait, we got someone calling in. Let's get Jared Barker. Logan, we'll be right back when we get Jared Barker in. And I think Jared Barker, there he is. Go to the distance 49. He's back. What's up, Jared?
Not much. How are you guys doing?
Good. We're talking about, you know, tiers, and you have a good tug?
Do what? A tug? Like the TC Tugger? Oh, that's my favorite shirt.
I do have two draft related questions that are off topic from what we're talking about, just so I can.
Yeah, go for it.
I need to help some understand. As you said, even if you had the worst record in the NBA, mm-hmm. you were guaranteed at least the fifth pick.
Right. That if four teams had dropped ahead of you in the draft, which was unlikely.
Oh, okay, never mind. Now I just answered my own question. Never mind. I got it now.
Gotcha. Yeah, yeah.
Now explain to me what this fucking double draft is that I keep hearing about. I need to understand what that means.
Well, apparently, it's never going to happen.
And it's not going to happen now, anyways. right?
Yeah. Well, the double draft was like the rule. I mean, you know, we don't have high schoolers in the league anymore, right? We're making all the high schoolers go play a year of ball somewhere else.
Yeah, the idea that the one and done was going away.
Yep, and the double draft was going to be not only were we going to have like the really good college players, but those really good high school players were supposed to come out at the same time. And so you're going to have double the pool, right? Because those high schoolers would have been able to come out into the draft, and the players that were already coming out in the draft were going to be there. So that would be the quote-unquote double draft, right?
That's a stupid thing to call it, and they should never. That's incredibly confusing and misleading. It's about as confusing and irritating as what we call a play-in tournament. I'm sorry, it's not a tournament. There's only four fucking teams. That doesn't make a tournament, okay?
Well, I mean, they don't even all have to play each other.
Yeah,
I know exactly.
The play-in has worked out. I mean, so far for the Jazz has worked out really well.
They should call it the knockout tournament because one team wins and knocks the other team out.
It's not even the play-in portion. It's just that calling it a tournament. Don't call it a tournament. Yeah, it's called knockout.
Oh, yeah.
Call it
knockout rounds. I like it. Yeah.
Yeah.
And, I mean,
the round that doesn't exist in the history books.
The stats that just drive
Ken Clayton and just gives fucking Ken Clayton and.
The Clayton's
and the aneurysms. They just like they can't handle it. The numbers don't exist.
The limit doesn't exist. So
would that be some shit if someone dropped 101 points in a play?
That'd
game?
Be insane.
But it and never existed. It was a pickup
couldn't
game.
Say it happened.
Yeah.
It was a glorified practice. Have you guys been? You guys have been watching, obviously, right?
Oh,
I watched all the playing games, unfortunately. Probably more reflection on me.
I mean, but they at least. I mean, I love the idea of the one and done basketball. The teams there's literally no tomorrow. These are the most important games of the year for them.
And I guess I think the four so far have been good, right? I mean, seeing Atlanta.
Right. Yep.
Atlanta being the Heat, I don't think many people expected, and we were all. Waiting for the Quinn Snyder collapse, which never came. So that had viewing eyeballs. And
they just needed a Trae Young
tonight. The fucking Bulls storming back from wherever it was entertaining. Yep. And those were the two early games that were just like background dinner noise for me. But
yep.
Obviously then, very involved with hoping that the Timberwolves got their ass kicked, but that didn't happen. They didn't get their ass kicked, but they didn't.
I love Jazz Twitter. Like I was actually doing something else yesterday, so I didn't watch most of the game. Like, I like to get to see the tweets, like fuck the Wolves, you know, these stupid Lakers. Da, 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 and then I get home, I'm able to watch like the last like minute of the game. Like, okay, so it's actually almost a tie game, and I know that you know what it took to get there, obviously. But yeah, I mean the Jazz needed a bunch of things to happen to get a better pick from the Wolves, and you know everything's hit so far. So that's pretty good, and it's funny because Logan, you coined something on here. You didn't mean to, but it was just you know, probably last offseason, you said something about if there's one thing you can count on, it's a Minnesota Timberwolf pick, you know. There's one franchise that you can count on to have good picks at some point in their future is the Minnesota Timberwolves. So something to that effect. I'm not saying it as eloquently as you did. I'll have to go back and like listen to.
Well,
some.
I'm sure it wasn't eloquent. but to your point about calling games early, I think I got this new game I'm gonna play, which is who's gonna be the first one to prematurely call a game over. Is it Jazz Jargon or is it
gets it
our buddy? It's Jeff, right? Who's Jazz? What he got? You know what I'm talking about. Josh.
Yeah. So,
But we'll have to call a game, or they like to call a game over in the first quarter. I noticed Jazz Jargon sneaky about it too. I mean, Josh has that reputation, but I saw Mr. Jargon calling it like in the first quarter. So,
and you can tell always... that there are fans who are, you know, like, I mean, to cheer for the Lakers is, you know, there's something in our souls right now as Jazz fans that, you know, these, you know, this is going to be a pretty good draft. Like, I'm not – look, Tony Jones is apparently – again, this, you know, this is – not to call it Tony, but he's just one of these guys like, oh, man, wherever the Jazz draft, there's going to be, you know, a Hall of Famer at every spot. I'm like, there's not 15 Hall of Famers in this draft. NBA Hall of Fames, maybe not.
It feels like that's every draft that people are always hyping up. Oh, this is the next greatest draft in the world.
Yeah,
this is the best draft since 2003.
That's true.
The greatest draft ever.
This one has a little bit of – I mean, gosh, I mean, they're playing – G League games on NBA TV, and I'm showing them games from France and the French national team. So this one seems to have a little more juice than, you know, maybe the Anthony Bennett draft. Even last year's draft was okay. It was fine. But yeah, this is a draft that has a lot of juice to it, but it does get, you know, the echo chamber, the hyperbole does start to build on each other. And yeah, there's a lot of good players, and I hope the Jazz just draft a tier two good player at least, because I feel like the tier three of good players. Tier three could be like all stars. You know, they can be all stars. They can be multiple time all stars. I just don't know if you can win a NBA championship with only tier three guys, but. What do I know, you know? So
no, I mean, we've touched on that a little bit too on here before. At least my own theory is I don't believe that the traditional model works for the Jazz, and I'm just very interested to watch and see how the playoffs play out this year. I guess specifically in the West, because the West, while there is star power there, there's just a lot of
it's a mess.
The star power feels like it's over the hill, and the rest of the guys feel like they've still got something to prove. It's a very interesting combination. I think the East is obviously super top heavy.
I mean, we got Barker and Bus here. I mean, he probably watches a lot of NBA games, right? And Logan, I know you're a big sports nut. I've known you for a long time. Like the Nuggets, right? The Nuggets, do they feel as dangerous as the 2021 Jazz? Like the Jazz that had the number one record in the league? They've been really quiet. Like nobody's scared of the Nuggets, right? But I mean,
I don't think anyone was scared of the Jazz either, though.
That's the thing. Where like, was anybody scared of the Jazz? Were we just hyping that too much? I mean, being number one again, like seeds have not mattered in the NBA for a long time. Teams have gotten so good that they don't care about, you know, winning on the road anymore. Number two, the Grizzlies, who just are kind of weird and have some problems right now, or they. We're having problems. I don't know if they fixed it or not. They have some drama.
Yeah, but I mean, if we're talking about like the superstar structure, which is the normal hierarchy, right? Mm-hmm. Which you've got to have one to two superstars in your, you know, in like your tier one, right? I don't know. I can't think of anyone that has that right now. I mean, I guess the Celtics are the closest, but
Celtics.
I don't know. I mean,
Bucks.
The Bucks though? Like who's the Bucks? Like. You consider Drew Holiday a tier one player?
No. You're talking about multiple tier one guys, right? Yeah.
Close. Like the Bucks are really.
It's Giannis, and then you know just great structure.
A lot of really really good players, yep. But like not like another. I don't even know if they. I guess Drew Holiday is a star. It still feels weird to say that.
Yeah. So Denver has Jokic, and then you know a bunch of tier three ish players. Jamal Murray's probably that line for me, like tier three, tier four guys. Yeah, you're right.
I don't know. The Suns, just the path and success. Yeah, well, the Suns are weird because they're old. Like, they're an old, heavy loaded 3-star team, right? So that I mean, it may or may not. I mean, I don't know. I guess I'm just curious to see what the path of like the Kings look like. Because the Kings are just. I mean, that's more of what we have is some good players, some all stars, potential all NBA guys. But I don't think that anyone considers Fox and Sabonis to be MVP candidates, right? Mm-hmm. So I don't know. It's like, very weird.
Sabonis is
the Cavs in the East, I guess.
Yeah, so Sabonis has been my comp to not play style, but same tier to Laurie. So yeah, the Kings are probably pretty good, right? Like if you can see what the Kings do. Nobody's scared of the Kings, unfortunately for them.
True. Yeah, you got Draymond Green on his podcast saying, "Oh yeah, we're gonna roll, and then the Lakers are gonna beat the Grizzlies, and that's the second round for you."
What's kind of weird though, to that point. I mean, those guys may or may not. We don't know. There may be that proverbial switch that the Warriors flip again. I don't know. Apparently.
Andrew Wiggins effect.
Yeah, I mean, while I'm not willing to go throw money on any of it, and because the Lakers and the Warriors of the world don't look like world beaters. I can't remember what podcast I listened to today. It was also I'm not saying they're great, but are we really that confident in anybody else in the West? What's the buzzsaw that's going to slow down that team? It could happen, but anyway, I was going to say something different about Memphis. We're talking about, I guess, just overall team futures. I understand Jaws the star, right? But I mean, from a physical capability standpoint, is Jaw? I mean, I don't know. It's just, it'll be interesting to watch how well these teams do and see if there is some, I guess, maybe a little more hope for us as Jazz fans that maybe there is a path to contention without having, Kevin Durant and Steph Curry or LeBron and AD. You know what I mean? I don't know. It's just. I guess I'm just searching and hoping for something that may not exist. Yeah. Perhaps. I mean, I don't know, but it's just.
I said last week, and Jared was, here, I think the Jazz have to hit something pretty good in this draft.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's a good chance that they do, just because I think there's a lot of good talent in this draft. And with the Jazz having this, huge void of someone that needs to, come in and take over next to Laurie or even above Laurie, I think that can happen, very, very soon.
Someone who's just Paul George enough good, but doesn't have to be Steph Curry or Giannis enough good or Kawhi enough
Paul
good.
George, yeah, Paul George is so weird.
What do you guys think about Pascal Siakam?
Yeah,
because I know the popular name is Jaylen Brown, but that doesn't seem like it's going to happen to me.
I mean, these are all trades, right? You're looking to trade. I mean, it could happen. I mean, but Pascal Siakam is very weird. He just has these physical. I mean, is he the next Paul George? I mean, I don't know if he's as talented as Paul George, but man, there's some immeasurables that Pascal Siakam has, Paul George had. Paul George was 6'7" when he got drafted, and he grew to 6'11" in a year or something like that. And just all of a sudden it was this beast that you couldn't stop, or 6'10" or whatever he was. But Pascal's he's interesting because he doesn't jump out at you as someone who's knocking down threes or what. But he has great numbers and. His body's good, and if the Raptors, I don't know where the Raptors are. They traded away a draft pick to go get Jakob Poeltl, in a position where they didn't need another center. They brought him back home, but Pascal played center. They had a rookie that they really liked there. I can't remember his name. Scotty Barnes is a 3-4. They had a lot of guys who were, I don't know, just in that range. They were playing three small forwards. In the front court.
Right. Well, I'm thankful that they went and got Jakob, because then they finished behind us in draft position, because they were losing a lot. Really.
Yeah. I mean, good for them. They almost made the play-in. So they decided to make a push for the play-in, which I'm kind of glad that. I mean, again, the Jazz. The Jazz did what they did. They lost Logan as a fan, but it got them a better draft pick. So.
That's probably true, Jared. I think Siakam, if you think of all the guys that are rumored out there, he's probably the most likely. I mean, he's the most possible. I mean, because obviously, as much as I love to get to the Lucas shit, the Lucas stuff's bullshit. it's never happening. Luka, I just don't see a scenario where Luka ever gets traded out of Dallas. But I know Jaylen Brown is everyone's super hot and horny name, but I'm not – I mean, I need to pose it on Twitter, and I haven't gotten around to it, but I need to figure out why people think that Jaylen Brown would ever come to Utah and why he would stay in Utah. Because if from what I'm reading, a significant portion of what he wants out of Boston has to do with what, which is, for some people don't know, Boston is one of the sneaky, most racist cities in the country.
Yeah.
And he doesn't want any part of that. That's a big part of what he wants out of him. He's been very,
well, then come to,
very vocal
of
about
course.
That.
And so he wants to come to the...
And I don't know if he's great friends with Don anymore, but at least during the bubble, they seem to be right. Like they were buddies, right?
Well,
I mean, what? And also, Danny Ainge had him on the trade block since the day he was born. What am I missing here that makes me think that... Are people leaning on the Will Hardy relationship? Or because Danny Ainge seems like a negative because he had him...
Yeah.
While I think some are chalking that up as a positive, I don't know that he views Danny Ainge.
I think because of you mentioned how Boston's so racist, he's going to want to come to Utah, which is notoriously not racist, according to a lot of fans.
I just don't understand. I know that people get excited, but like, how are they just ignoring that? How are you quote tweeting an article where it's talking about how he hates racist Boston, and you're in all seriousness saying come to fucking Utah? Like I get that some of it's a little bit I don't know if I want to put my foot out there and say unwarranted, but it's definitely not the most culturally diverse and accepting community.
Because it's
wild to me. So there's got to be something, right? Like the only thing I can think of is it's Will Hardy, that maybe there's some that Will Hardy, he loves Will Hardy the way that Gordon Hayward uncomfortably sexually loved Brad Stevens.
I haven't read enough of the CBA to really understand, but I know there's something about ownership. Like if you tell Jaylen Brown that he can have a Dwayne Wade size ownership in the Jazz, the Utah Swingers, the new baseball team, and the Utah Freeze, the new hockey team, that could be worth it, right?
Oh, Utah Freeze! I like it.
I heard that on the radio.
Yeah,
so
I mean,
that's not me. So.
And we're gonna
get a license from DC to use Mr. Freeze or something.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional grade supplies backed by product experts, so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Yeah.
As Logan, mentioned, so yeah, Pascal Siakam is a good name. That's a good name, Jared. And somebody that's probably in the same.
And I'm assuming he's foreign, right? So he's definitely going to stay.
People love dropping.
And
I mean,
if he wasn't foreign, he's been in Canada long enough. He's technically a foreigner too.
Yeah,
I think Fred VanVleet is also now foreign, right?
Yeah, our friend Fox the Box mentioned that last week, and I was like, we don't do that here. We don't talk about like. I mean, I don't know. Just people love bringing up the foreign stuff, and it's weird.
Pascal Siakam, Cameroonais. He's from Cameroon.
I was like, he's a. And
I was going to say like Wisconsin or something.
I think Pascal for me is in the same tier as Lauri Markkanen. And so that's good. I mean, if you can have two of those guys, and if you hit on a rookie, and you still have some cap space, and I guess to bring Jordan Clarkson back, I can see it. I can see a path there. I mean, you just have to be, it's the Jazz. If you're a small market team, you have to be very, very good at all your moves. Like the Jazz of all the Donovan Rudy Gobert Jazz, they didn't hit enough. And if you're gonna do this with Lauri as your 1A, 1B. I don't know who one other 1B is going to be. Like, this draft you have to hit. You can't miss. You have three draft picks. One of those guys has got to turn into, for me at least, for me to feel comfortable.
Guys, I got the clincher. Pascal Siakam went to God's Academy High School. He's coming to Utah.
He went to high school in Provo. Huh?
He went to that Provo rehab center.
Louisville, Texas. He went to New Mexico State. I didn't know that.
They've got New Mexico. That's kind of an odd journey. But he was also kind of a dude. He's a self-made man anyways, though, right? As far as his basketball, he wasn't some top prospect or anything anyways. So,
no.
But it's in. Do you think you said the Jazz, with the Jazz having three picks, do you think they have to hit on two of the three? And by hit, I don't mean that they both have to hit, they have to hit on two stars, but they have to hit on like a an all-star caliber and a rotationary piece.
Yeah, like
where, what you said, that's where we always missed all those other years. We missed the Desmond Bain, the Jaden McDaniels, the.
Do we think Mikal Bridges is too high now? Like Mikal Bridges was a good hit for the Suns at like number 9 or 10. Like I'll look it up right now.
This version of Mikal Bridges, maybe. Hey, my God, he's like a whole different guy now.
Right. Yeah, you know, I mean, that's the thing is, when you have so many guys in this like Lauri Markkanen tier, these guys can all be really good, but they can't be. You know, like there's a reason why LeBron James and like KD, these guys are elite, really great for a reason, because you put them on any team and they'll be good. There's a lot of these tier 3-ish guys that I think are really good, and sometimes you just have to go to a different, location, and sometimes just have a different role, and then all of a sudden you can be great too, you know. So that's, I don't know if I'm making any sense, but Mikal was he was pick number 10, right? In a year that the Jazz could have tanked as well. I'm pretty sure that was the draft that the Jazz like lost Rudy for half the season, and when he came back, they won like 20 out of 24 games or whatever. And then that was the series they beat the Thunder though. So it's a hard memory to say it was a bad choice. But
it's definitely weird trying to reconcile that kind of thing, because I mean obviously. Back then, I didn't give nearly enough a shit about Twitter to pay attention to what people thought we should have been like. Mm-hmm. To me, that was all feel-good story about, oh, my God, this team reloads with a rookie Donovan Mitchell, right?
Right,
so it's exciting, but maybe that was the wrong call. It's kind of like we were talking, like the thing about today, like, you know, the Jazz are in the 9 slot, but really, you know, and I don't know if I want to give credit to these guys, but again, we had those big week where we beat, Boston and Sacramento in the same in 2 days. Or in the same week, right?
Fuckers.
And yeah, those would change your, those would move you up drastically with how tight everything got. But at the same time, it's like you were like the guys you're hoping to develop kind of led the charge. Which is just a weird fucking place to be in to try to like.
And that's you know, when it comes down to it. So I mean, that Donovan rookie year, right? Like when we trade that, and you know, you said I actually do remember being on Twitter at that time, and like the discourse was. The tank note had started, but once the Jazz went on this, because it was a historic run, like something that had been done before, and like moved up so as far as they did, and you had a rookie Donovan, a lot of people weren't that mad, you know, myself included, that they, you know, didn't just try to go for a draft pick. Like they did something, it was great and it was exciting, and here we are, you know, 5 years later going, oh, you know, I'm like, ugh, the Jazz should have really lost more games. But when it comes down to it, like if you ask me, would I have traded, you know, what I saw from Lauri, Walker Kessler, even Ochai Agbaji, you know, like some of these guys that may even be fringe guys on the roster, you know, the THTs, Chris Dunns, you know, it would be hard for me to say I would not have wanted to seen that, because it does give you a little sense of security, a little sense of like, okay, maybe Lauri has it, right? Because that's the thing, the Jazz were just they did their darndest to lose, and they just
That's what I mean is how do you reconcile that? Like how do you draw the line between when I say this, it's both parallels. It's that just that rookie Donovan team and it's this team now. Like how do you distinguish between, oh my God, these guys are better than we thought and they're actually developing better and we actually have good pieces in place, as opposed to like, oh my God, we should be fucking losing on purpose so we can try to get it, so we can try to hope to get something different. I'm not trying to be that. I'm not trying to just discard the tanking. I understand the logic of it. I'm not trying to be the typical person you see on the internet saying you can't ever tank. Like, I understand the logic of it, but I'm saying in these particular cases, that's like a very fine line to walk. Like, it's funny to me because the tanking attitude is, you want them to get these good reps, right? Like, you don't want them just playing blowout games, but like, it's like we want them to get the really good reps, but we don't like want them to get enough reps to where they actually go over the top and Ochai makes like 3 game winning plays and actually wins a game. Yeah. Like,
you want them to lose.
Like, you know what? You can't, that's fucking absurd, right? Like, that's when you've taken it too far because you don't want them just playing, you know, what happened towards the end of the season, which was just, you know, one on one selfish ball with a bunch of people that are just trying to earn contracts for next year. Like, that does nobody the good. So what you're saying is you want him in those games, but you ultimately want him to fuck up and not win games because you want to, like, I guess, save that equity for a breakthrough
right.
2 years. Like, that, it doesn't work that way. Like,
yeah,
I understand in hindsight, it's like, oh, my God, like, if we'd have lost those two games, we could be sitting in the Portland spot, which is, like, what, 5 or 6 or something?
Yeah.
Like, it's just it's just hard, and I guess even to that point, like, what the fuck else were the Jazz supposed to do?
Yeah, and that's where,
like, he was trotting out, like, teams that shouldn't even we should have been, you know, Portland has been trying to do the same thing, but they just weren't winning the games. Like, these guys, how much of that roster will even be in the NBA next year?
Yeah, I mean, the 10-day contracts. I mean, they got a Luka that wasn't even in the league. Like, it's. So that's hard, because, like, for me, directions, you're right. I mean, for me as a fan, you know, like after I calm down and think about it, I'm like, you know what, the Jazz, you know, I saw what they did. And
shout out to Chris Dunn, though, man. Like, that guy really he made a push for,
like, he's
a spot in the league.
He should be a backup point guard somewhere.
In true Jazz fashion, he's like a couple years late.
Yep.
Right?
Harrison
Barnes will be landing in Utah in 3 years. I'm telling you right now.
If only we'd had Chris Dunn as the man of the day.
I mean,
yeah, back when we're trying to talk ourselves into Shaq Harrison,
a lot of people don't like these guys on Twitter, right? Like Mark and McKay, but those guys have been calling for Chris Dunn for years, and so. It happens, guys. dunk on McCade all you want for his Ochai bust thing, right? It's funny, you know. He said what he said, and then Ochai played well. You can dunk on, but then, you know, I feel like you have to give flowers for when he's like, oh, you know, Chris Dunn. You know, I remember 2-3 years ago. Just...
But you also need to dunk on him when he claims on the internet the other day that Ben Wallace and Dikembe Mutombo were the best players on teams that went to the finals. I was thinking about that. I saw that tweet and I just scrolled by because I'm like, I'm not going to fight today. But when you believe
is better than AI,
Ben Wallace was better than Tayshaun Chauncey, Rip Hamilton. I mean, there's one way to look at basketball, and that's one way to look at it, I guess.
But
I just had to throw that out there because it bothered me so much. I was thinking about it in the shower the other day, and I couldn't finish. I couldn't finish jerking off because it's so upsetting to me.
Oh, nice little tug.
It went flaccid.
I was like, oh, Dikembe Mutombo.
So you brought up such a. I mean, it really is like, as a GM, right? Like, as a GM, like, what you hope for your GM to do is to really kind of be a little bit predictive of the future. You know, see, like, okay, cool, Laurie, you know, go get Laurie and hope it works out. You know, make sure you add a young piece into your trade package. Like, I'm sure no one knew that Walker Kessler and even Ochai were going to be this good. But, you know, there was like, hey, you know, Walker's the 22nd pick in the draft. Ochai is a lottery pick or 15th pick. So those guys at least had some draft equity. They might be. Gosh, who's the guy that got cut? Balmaro. They might be Balmaro, but throw them in the package, and then you can see. And if it's Balmaro, cool. You cut them, and at least you know got a young. You know, I remember at the beginning of the year, like Logan kept saying, why do people keep saying it's like 5 draft picks, because you know why they kind of Walker Kessler was a draft pick, right? And it worked out. It worked out right. So you want your GM to kind of be able to assess the situation, and you know, like, yeah, I want my GM to be like, okay, cool. Like, what Ochai is doing is great, but he's not an all-star. Like, people are out here thinking that Ochai is going to be the third best player on a team. Like, a lot of people, you know, I don't know. I don't put words in people's mouths, but it feels like people are like, oh, the Jazz are good because they already have Walker, Ochai, and Lauri Markkanen, and I'm like,
those people are called fucking idiots.
And it's just like, as I was like, Ochai's nice, guys. He's fine.
He's a rotation guy.
That's what I'm saying. My hope is he turns into be like a, you know, a George solid Yang. 3-and-D player. Yeah. I know it sounds cliche as shit, but that's
right. Like,
he might be a starter. He might be the 7th guy off your. I don't know. Fuck, I don't.
Bruce Bowen was nice to have. Danny Green is nice to have. But those guys aren't changing your team. Like, those guys are nice to have if you have 4 other guys that are in front of him, you know?
Our best case scenario is he's Robert Horry. Big shot Bob Ochai.
I mean, well, Robert Horry's, I mean,
seven championships.
Oh, yeah. A classic. Yeah,
right. Somewhere between Bruce Bowen and Robert Horry will take either one of those.
Yeah. So, like, I think Ochai could be good, and he'd be nice to have, but you know, let's try to get those three or four guys that are in front of him first. Let's try to get that, you know, like, actual, like, can Ochai be a starter? Sure. He can be like a Royce O'Neal starter. But I want to make sure I have four really good all-stars. I say the same thing about Walker. Like, Walker can be a starter. I just don't think he's going to be the second or third best person on your team. These are not
knocks. No, I think he needs to be like, you know, what's his name? What's our dude's name? What's the...
Jakob Poeltl.
Jared Allen-ish. Little bit better than Jared Allen.
There you go.
Yeah. Like, these guys
Jared Allen was an all-star once, right?
He was an all-star once. Being an all-star once, I mean, it's just, gosh, like, this is another thing that bothers me, and we're going to let out now. And Aaron's like, oh, well, next year the Jazz have a chance to be a playoff team. I'm like, is that all? Is that all that we're looking for? Like, what does it even mean to be a playoff team? Like,
well, it doesn't. Yeah, it'd be great to be a playoff team next year because the fucking Timberwolves are going to be a
yes.
Dog shit.
We don't have the pick next year, though. We have a pick swap. We don't have
a pick swap. Never mind.
We have a pick swap.
Yes. We don't have any picks next year. Oh, thanks. Thanks. Thanks, Derek Favors.
I don't think we have a pick swap. I think pick swap actually is after.
Oh, that's right. You have to blame Favors because Justin Zanuck isn't real. Got it.
Favors is the one who made him do it.
Derek Favors always barkers on soft spot there.
He definitely wasn't good.
It's not Jared's soft spot. He's everybody's soft spot. I just want to be here to remind everyone of two things. One, the second one now being that. No draft pick next year, thanks to that piece of shit. No, he's not a piece of shit. He seems like a solid guy by all accounts, actually.
Yeah.
So I retract that. Okay, piece of shit.
No talent ass clown?
Oh, wow.
Who's a no talent ass clown? What is that reference to?
Michael Bolton. Office Space.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
okay, yeah. Okay, now I got him. Give me a second. It felt familiar, but not familiar enough.
Yes.
But...
Right. Why do I have to change my name? He's the no-tell.
What else did Derek Favors do that makes me hate him? He took away Darren Williams and just completely shattered my innocence watching NBA basketball, realizing that a star will never exist in Utah.
Yeah.
We're leading a hopeless fight into nowhere.
So next year, if the Jazz are in the playoffs, that is obviously a good move. But I'm just like, the playoffs should not be the barometer of a good season. Like, look at the teams.
Not with this shitty West.
Yeah, I mean, look at this. The Bulls. The Bulls might be a playoff team. Great guys. Like, I really want to get to a level where, you know, I want teams to fear us, fear the Jazz, not us. Fear the Jazz like they feared the Warriors for so many years, right? Like, oh fuck, here comes the Jazz. We're in trouble because, you know, they've got 3 7-footers that are just going to murder us. So. Anyway, no.
And if one of them is Kelly Olynyk, you might scream, right?
I have nothing against KO.
Well, I figured that like he's going to be old and washed by the time we're feared, right?
Wow, I mean, if KO's throwing triple doubles,
he'll be our 7-7-footer coming off the bench.
If KO's throwing triple doubles, man, like if we're feared and KO's one of the reasons why, good for
him. If he had got the triple double, that would have been amazing.
He was looking for it in the last game because he played in the last game for some reason, but then sat in the second last home game. He was staring at the stats every time that he got an assist. Fourth quarter, he's trying to throw oops. I'm like, all right, yeah, go for it. Go for it, Kelly. Try it. So, Logan, you know what? It's been good. Anybody in the group chat you want to shout out?
No, I left the group chat.
Okay. Was it
no
too
longer,
much?
I'm no longer a part. I can't talk about it here for legal reasons. I do want to shout out, hopefully I'm saying her name right, but DR DeRozan, the star that none of us knew that we needed.
Right.
Good Lord. If you haven't seen that footage of her watching DeMar DeRozan's daughter in Toronto during the free throws day, screaming at the top of her lungs every time they shot a free throw. I think the Raptors ended up shooting like 15 or 28 from the free throw line or some shit. But that no one knew what it was for the longest time, right? Like, it was happening all game long, and it wasn't until like the fourth quarter they figured out where it was coming from. You saw people on Twitter like, what the fuck is that sound? What is that noise? And then like there's also a side by side of that, you know, that Miami Heat LeBron, like the shit is on photo where he's like, he's hunched over and he's scowling, right? They got a good side by side of her, and it was good quality, clean entertainment.
She helped her dad get to the next round.
And she's got another.
I only watch the Bulls like play three games. Every time I watch them, they're like super entertaining. So like maybe I need to rethink my DeMar DeRozan and my Adam. That's not Adam Levine. Adam Zach Levine takes. I don't know.
Adam, they're brothers, I think. So
it doesn't make any sense why that team is that bad, right? Like it's kind of weird. I know there's some bad contracts and players, but there's a lot of. They have a lot of really good players, though. It's very weird.
I think that's really hurt them.
That's the problem is that like, that's the problem is like sometimes you have a really good player, like, you know, just a great, you know, but they don't have like an elite player, I think.
Yeah. Team has a lot of good players. I'm sorry, before we duck out of this corner, I can't get by without shitting on them a little bit. The Minnesota Timberwolves have a lot of good players, and they should be ashamed of the fact that they were the play-in. And I mean that in all seriousness. I'm also factoring in that Cat missed like 50 games. That team has so many good players, and the West was such dog shit. They should be an embarrassment and ashamed. All the other shenanigans and circus tricks aside, like that team has wave of players. Think about how deep they go at the center position, for Christ's sake. And I understand some of these guys got injured at the end, but like, my God, Naz Reid is going to make like fucking $30 million a year next year. We're going to give it to him too. But it's wild. Like they just keep trotting out player after player, right? And it's just like they have so many good players. They should be disgusted in themselves, like, you know, for this, finishing in the play-in.
This is for the anti-tank crowd. They have two number one picks on their team. Anyway, that's how good they are.
There was four number one picks in the play-in game last night.
Yeah, there was. The people love that stat too. But, you know, trust me, you definitely, I mean, there's a difference between LeBron, like the tier that LeBron and Anthony Davis are in versus the tier that Cat and Anthony Edwards are in. But, you know, the tier that Cat and Anthony Edwards are in is still a pretty damn good tier, you know? So, you know, number one
picks. There's a lot that believe Anthony Edwards tier might be an elite tier. It feels a little bit Cat-like, though, where it feels like all the tools are there and Cat could just never put it together.
I mean, Cat was there
for Edwards needs to get the
Cat was there for a while.
Fuck out of Minnesota, the way he needs to get the.
Yeah, Cat was in that tier for a long time, and mm-hmm. It isn't until recently that like, oh shit, you know, like all the the fact that his weaknesses are still there and like he hasn't covered them up, can't cover them up as much anymore. I think that's really hurt the Cat crowd.
Meow.
He does a lot of dumb shit. That's all there is to it.
Well, and Ricky Rubio meow is forever ingrained in my mind.
He also
especially since that commercial, like with the Rudy stuff going on, how it was like that Cat guy became relevant. Oh, it's okay to be a Cat guy.
At least Cat didn't punch a wall, so or a teammate, I guess. So good for those guys.
Yeah, we're even gonna dissect that.
I mean, poor Jaden McDaniels, man. Like, they put like a plastic cover over the thing, so apparently he didn't know that was the actual concrete wall behind there. That sucks.
next time he's,
I guess, you know, fuck around and find out.
Next time he's pissed, he'll throw his fists at a drywall. So,
as Mike, the situation taught us, though, you always got to check and make sure it's actually drywall. Don't put your head into his stuff.
A Jersey Shore reference in 2023. That's awesome.
Are you guys aware that Sammy's finally back on the Jersey Shore? I haven't watched Jersey Shore. Because you know they did the reboot, right? Like three or four or 5 years ago where they call like Family Vacation out when it's all the old people.
Yeah.
And like, Sammy's been infamously not on there. And I saw something the other day on TikTok that she's back.
Yeah, so, I'm not a big Jersey Shore fan, but like I have seen the ads for it. So I'm just like, oh. I own
I didn't know there was a reboot. So.
I own like all 7 streaming services now, so it's just like I see it and I'm like, oh yeah, it's not for me. That's probably the streaming.
Oh, it definitely hasn't been enough to make me watch it. I'll tell you that. I still haven't turned it on or even attempted to record it.
We'll have to do favorite shows from the 2000s, like the MTV era that we did, like.
I know my favorite already, man.
Yeah, like the OC season 1 was not the OC, Laguna Beach season 1 was just a masterpiece. Everything after that was trash, though. So, Jared, anybody?
Trash is a little aggressive. Trash is a little aggressive. It brought us to hills, okay? We'll always be grateful.
It did bring us to hills. Jared, anybody do what you want to put in Marnay's corner here? Grocery corner. Grocery. What do you call it?
Produce corner?
Produce corner. Thank you.
So anybody who has produced fresh produce.
Marnay's meat shack.
official name.
Goodness. I can't really think of anything offhand. I mean, Mark has been adamant in his Rudy defense. So, I mean, shout out to him for that. But man, I really had to hold my tongue on this Rudy stuff because I don't want to go in on Rudy.
Yeah, dude, it's fucking. It's annoying, and I'm more annoyed at myself. I keep falling into the trap, yes, talking about it. And also, like, getting irritated by it. But it's just, like, sometimes in life, there's just certain situations, like, he couldn't have done that. Like, he shouldn't have done that. And don't give me the backwards bullshit about he got called a bitch. Like, in that circumstance, in that situation, you don't do that, right? Suspension was perfectly justified in that situation. And if it wasn't Rudy Gobert, these people would not be making those types of requests, and they just wouldn't be.
LeBron got called a bitch by Mario Chalmers, and he went and won them a series, and won a championship because he let that fuel him instead of punching his teammate. So, I mean, that's all I'm going to say about that.
And to add on to that a little bit, just the people who think that bitch is like the end all be all for let's throw down. Just I would really encourage you to strongly examine the demographic of the people who believe that versus the ones who don't. And I'll let you come to your own conclusions as to what that means. But
I think the C-word is much, much worse.
Yeah, it's just interesting to watch the people who say that. And it's also just like, that's the thing with Rudy is, like, I understand he's unnecessarily picked on and he gets unnecessary hate. I'm not here to pretend he doesn't. But, like, part of what makes it even worse is the fact that people just won't. Like, I love Mark, and you guys know I love Mark, but this was not the time to do, like, odes to Rudy Gobert. Like, how about we just keep our mouths shut, play with your cat on the couch, you fucked up.
Yeah.
Especially the beauty of it, that, like, there's an article that was published, like, that day where they're talking about Kyle Anderson's leadership, and that Rudy Gobert is quoted as saying, his language can be aggressive to some, but I appreciate and I like where he's coming from. So,
like, there's a lot of layers to it.
I mean, it's just so fucking annoying. Like, dude, that's the most dramatic Twitter I've been involved in all season long, and that's what I wanted to avoid because he's not on our fucking team. And, we should be talking about had the good sneaky tweets about Mike Connolly's hamstring. Like, people saying, where was this Connolly at? He'd be in street clothes because his hammy would have been blown out, or would he have made those free throws? No, like the bubble. Like, I love Mike. I might say love Mike Connolly. I strongly like Mike Connolly, but I definitely, in my true bitterness of the moment, I was absolutely seething watching him do good things. And as I settled down today and became a little more rational, like, that was pretty rude, Logan. That's pretty bad. Like, he's a good guy. He deserves good things. But, like, in the moment, I wasn't like, oh, my God, I'm so happy for Mike. I'm so happy for you, bro. No, do that in Utah. Fucking, like, play the game would be the first great step. Second of all, like, how about you make the buckets,
Yeah,
like,
don't miss that shot versus Denver. Yep. Yeah.
I mean,
almost. How did we get here?
You needed some therapy.
Jared brought up Rudy Gobert.
I brought up Mark to shout him out.
I love Mark still, but goddamn it, sometimes I want to just. I don't even know what I want to do because I never want to hurt his feelings or his physicality. But just Mark, no, you're wrong. Sometimes it's okay. You're just wrong. That's all.
Rudy will do that, like, in the Rudy Discords. We thought we'd be done with it, but apparently not. So
we're never going to be fucking done with it. Somehow it's still.
We are never going to be done with it. So go follow Dragon Squatch at the Dragon Squatch on the Twitter. When's your wedding?
Changing my handle to fuck Rudy Gobert.
When is the wedding? I'm ordained, so I need to know. This is important, so I can take my days off.
No, I don't know. We need to figure that. We're not any sooner than a year.
I need to find a really comfortable. I'm assuming it's gonna be a spring wedding. So I need to find a really comfortable Elvis suit.
Yeah, Elvis would be good. It'd be good if you could find, like, an Elvis short pant combo or something. You know, something Just something good.
A shirt pad. Well, like so not a full jumpsuit. You just like you just want a shirt
pad. I mean, jumpsuit is good. I'm just totally making this up on the spot, so maybe a bad idea. But
it's full
jumpsuit from the top, but like from the bottom now, it's still the same Elvis theme, but it's like really tight, like nut hugger shorts. You know, like that would be some fancy boots. Maybe I'm just spitballing it.
It's your wedding, man. Like I've already gotten ordained, so I've got that part one is done.
How long does that last for? I mean, how long till it expires?
That's a good question. It was way easier than it should have been. I think they just want my money, and so I'm about to look more into this ordained. Apparently, it's like to do a wedding. It's really easy, folks. Like, you ask like three questions, and as long as you ask those questions, it's like legal. So,
it's amazing.
Yeah, you know, it is what it is. There's gonna be a lot of God talk in the wedding. Jared,
did you say God?
Yes.
I think you said dog.
Yeah. go to this. You know, we're gathered here in this church. Go to this is 49. Bus and Barker. What? What do I have
Did
to do?
Did you say Bus and Barker?
Yes. Yeah.
That was funny.
What do I have to do? Like, what do I need to come dress at for your wedding? Because I'm already if I'm ordained, I'm going to do two, your wedding and Logan's
wedding. Two for one.
Yeah. So, what would you like? Because I mean, Elvis is his thing. That's what he wants. What do you want?
Ooh, dude, that's a hard one.
Yeah.
The thing is, I have not even found the other party involved in this situation. So it's like, well, I'm sorry, I already committed. You know, to who doing my wedding? So this is what it has to be.
I think if she gets to pick the color of the flowers, you get to pick who gets to marry.
Okay,
Lord Farquaad.
Yeah,
you as the Blue Ranger. You as the Blue Ranger.
Blue Ranger. You know what? I have that. So I already have.
Exactly. And I remember.
And Yellow Ranger.
Racist.
We also haven't discussed Jamie Protein yet.
Oh my gosh.
No, I am.
As who said, "What's in your notebook?" And I had like a list of people to try to bring
Jamie
on. Jamie Protein's name was on there.
I am. I added myself last week. You didn't listen, or last episode. I added myself already. I told everybody. I told everybody I'm Tiffany Dawn, Tiffany with two E's. So,
oh yeah, I forgot about that.
So all those sexual and news that you send in the DMs are going to me. So I'll do what I want.
Even wait, and you tweet the ones about Rudy Gobert too. Wow.
Oh yeah, definitely. Yeah, I'm a huge huge Rudy Ab guy. So
I'm looking forward to the penis collage you'll be putting out soon.
And that's our hour, folks. So thank you. Thank you. I'm thank you to the Believe Network. I don't know. You might have ads in this episode. If we do, cool. Thanks for listening to them, because that's how the show is going to be made now. I don't know what the ads are. Probably something with gambling. We'll get that all. Like, I mean, we probably should have to, you know, look through the contract a little more. So yeah, thanks again. Give us a 5-star review. That helps us out. Again, thanks to Jake the Lynx. Who gave us somebody else gave us a 5-star review last weekend. As I was reading, I'm like, this is a robot.
It was Jamie Protein.
All right. Well, thanks again. And Jamie Protein is our next guest. So we'll catch you guys next time.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.